Thank you very much. It's a great honor for me to be part of this panel and to take part in this conference. The question that you pose really translates the search for the path of moderation onto this very challenging terrain of how to achieve justice in the historical situation that the world finds itself in at the present time. And I would say that that it is rather providential that Turkey and Malaysia have cooperated at this moment to organize a discussion of this sort, because these two governments, I think, more than any other at the present time, do exhibit that pursuit of justice, that pursuit of a world order in which respect for international law and human rights takes a paramount place. And what I think is so important and relates to the events that have been transpiring in such a extraordinary manner in country after country in this region is the sense that moderation does not mean renouncing the search for justice. It does not mean the absence of a militant commitment to act on behalf of what is right and what is just. The extremism comes from those that employ violence to repress people, to intervene against the search for self-determination of peoples, the most fundamental right. And what I see this historical moment as challenging us all in the most deepest way is to recognize that there is a limit to what can be achieved by reliance on violence, militarism, and war as a means of solving problems and resolving conflict. We have come to a point, and these uprisings throughout this region underscore this point, that the power of people seeking justice overwhelms the power of an unjust state relying on militarism and repression in order to maintain its control. We must be aware also of the false accusations that religious convictions or cultural identities are a source of extremism. We have seen my government, for instance, manipulate the reality of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt in order to cast it as extremist, despite the fact that it has, for decades now, professed a path of nonviolence. It has taken the view that only a shared administration of government in Egypt can lead to a sustainable democracy. And it has been attacked by extremist groups throughout the world. Yet it is portrayed as extremist. So we must ask the question, who is entitled to tell us who is moderate and who is extreme in the world? And we must use our conscience, not be obedient to either the media or to government propaganda in defining that reality. And what I find so exciting in this present moment, and which I think has been demonstrated as historically relevant by these two sponsoring governments of Malaysia and Turkey, is this package of initiatives that can produce justice, seeking the fulfillment of economic and social rights for all of the people in a political community, seeking to conduct foreign policy in accordance with respect for international law and the decisions of the United Nations, seeking peaceful problem-solving mechanisms in addressing conflict, and finding a way of capturing the political traditions that give cultural authenticity to modes of political leadership, which include an affirmation of the religious traditions of a particular society. It is that kind of what I would call soft power realism that contrasts with the hard power realism that emphasizes military dominance, that emphasizes defiance of international law and human rights, and that is unwilling to promote justice in the relations between peoples. And I find that hard power realism to be characteristic of the foreign policies of the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. And it is this great encounter between hard power realism and soft power realism that defines the struggle for justice at this historical moment.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very, very much.